Well, hello, Vashon. This is History Worth Hearing, and I am your host, Chris Austin. This is a presentation by the Vashon Heritage Museum, and you might be hearing a lot more goofs than normal because we are live. This is our very first live show, and as always, we like to highlight the talk that the museum is presenting this month with one of its speakers, and I'm honored today to have Betty Edwards here. How are you, Betty?
I'm fine. It's a beautiful summer day and close to the 4th of July. What can we expect?
Oh, isn't it gorgeous?
Gorgeous.
Yes.
Gorgeous.
And I am so excited about this topic. It's always been a kind of a thing I remember from my childhood. I never did it, but the topic today is soapbox derbies. Wow. We did them on the island, right?
We sure did them on the island. Yes, we did.
For anybody out there that may not know that, and it's maybe not a geezer like me, let me give you a little background on soapbox racers or soapbox vehicles. Some people call them gravity racers, and they are motorless vehicles. And generally, these races are done by people that make their own vehicle, so it's a parent-child kind of activity. They put this together, and they're generally fun, sometimes fundraisers, and basically they have cars go side by side at the top of a hill, perhaps with a ramp, and then they let them go, and whoever finishes first goes on to the next race until they come down to two vehicles, and they race for the big prize. And it's been around, I used to do it with the reason they call them soapbox racers is they would take a physical box that was used to ship soap and they would nail on roller skates. And that was the vehicle. And it has certainly gotten more sophisticated. They still do it to this day. In fact, there's even a soapbox derby like LLC International Body, but that's not us. So, Betty, please tell us, how did this get started?
Well, I would say your comment about that's not us is probably 100% true because that was not us. When I was probably 9, 10 years old, my mother was park director in Eugene, Oregon, and they ran an official soapbox derby contest down my hill that I lived on. And I think I was just totally blown away by the sensation. Did I want to do it? No, I did not want to do it. Was I intrigued? Yes. But it's one of those memories, Chris, that just sticks with you. And after I moved to Vashon and got involved in business, I was a former owner of the Little House, which I owned for 38 years before I decided to retire. We used to do kind of crazy things at promotions, crazy things. And one time we flew over the town, talked to the business association. We flew over the town and dropped ping pong balls.
Right?
Well, we only did it a couple of times because obviously kids and everybody else wanted to go up on the roofs and get the ping pong balls. So it was not a good idea. Dan, my husband, had seen this done in a program in, Kentucky. We did a cow pie derby. You probably never heard about that.
Is that the throwing of them or something?
No, we raised money. There was a cookie outlet in Seattle called Cow Pie Cookies. Again, Paul Manier, just a dear friend, had seen this done at a school in Montana. And so we raised enough money to take the senior class of 88 to Disneyland for senior night. So we were just always kind of looking for that crazy outer edge. And what that involved literally was selling raffle tickets. And I did go to a school and I learned about all the things you have to do about raffles.
Yeah.
No, you couldn't do that again now because the environmentalists wouldn't like the cow on the field, et cetera, et cetera. You know, there's just a lot involved with it. But we did some crazy things. And out of that was, you know, when I was little, there was a soapbox derby. Do you think we could do a soapbox derby on this island? And Dan said, and there it rolled.
That was it.
That was it. So we started brainstorming in '70s, the latter part of the middle part of the '70s, and it finally came to being and ran through the '80s.
Wow.
We only actually did And, you know, I'm going to tell you right off the top, you guys, I'm 77. And so this is as my memory and several other memories remember, because we've already found conflict of interest in Dan is no longer with us, so I can't ask all of the details of how and what was involved with the technical part of it. But so anyway, we talked, finally found out enough. I went to the Vashon Business Association, which is now the Chamber of Commerce,
okay,
and said, hey, do you think we could do this? And it was like, yeah, let's do it. I mean, the business community was very tight and very involved. And so they took the leadership of paying for the insurance, which is why you probably couldn't do it now.
Absolutely, yeah.
It would be $1 million plus then, and I don't know what they would want to do it. So they ended up sponsoring money, and we went out and looked for sponsors. And I don't remember exactly which was the biggest number, but I know that at one point we had, I think, 27 sponsors
and
31 kids.
Oh,
so some of the
wow.
kids ran other cars. So they were responsible, or we were responsible, for getting the axles and wheels. And I really think that was really the only specification other than it was done by age bracket.
Oh, okay.
And it was done by weight. Now, the age bracket still is questionable. We're reviewing a lot of the beachcombers and stuff to go through it. But basically, it was 7 to 11.
Okay.
Yeah, I know you'd put my kid in a car. And probably 12 to 14. Yes, one of my stepchildren did drive in it. The other did not drive in it, had no interest. So the hill, for those who weren't around at that period of time, it's 115th. And Chris, right. you're familiar with that hill,
yes.
aren't you?
Yes.
Where does that hill run?
So that the top of that hill runs off bank by the Christmas tree, Augie's Christmas trees, right?
Got it. And it runs from where to where?
Towards straight as a string, right to Cove.
Yes, it does. It's Bank Road to Cove Road, the same road that, in case you didn't connect it with the tree farm, it's the road that the Catholic Church is on.
Exactly.
And if you just want for fun, go run it in your own car.
Yeah.
You know, just drive down or ride a bicycle down it. But these kids built these cars.
Now, you had to choose, I'm sure there's some thought into this, like it had to be straight, like you can't turn these cars, right?
Oh, no.
They're straight-shot cars.
We looked at a lot of hills, and that was the hill that went. You know, there has been an adult derby, soapbox derby, that has been several times. I don't know when, and it's not necessarily on a – Mike might be able to help you with that.
Run naked or what?
I think theirs was done on I'll have to think. I can't think of where it was run now.
Beach.
Yeah. No.
At the bottom.
Yes, at the bottom with a few beers in between. Yes. So, we did consider several hills, and that was the hill that came down. The position on the hill changed numerous times.
Oh, you didn't always start at the top, huh?
Well, no. It all changed year to year.
Huh.
Okay. It did change year to year. So we booked it as a father, mother, son, daughter. And the only stipulation they had was the weight category and the wheels and axles. And that also changed as we went we went through things. It was very much a family group. It was very much a neighborhood group. It was very much just the kids and their friends. It became, that will be on the panel. There will be some of these kids who are now in their 50s.
I was going to say, they're 50,
they're in
60
their 50s,
year old now.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm going to relate one story in particular about a young lady. But so, you know, most of the fathers built them, and the kids probably pounded a few nails
in
them.
Sure.
You know, and they usually all painted them.
Oh, okay.
And there were categories for the best represented business. Decorated car. In fact, Darcy, my stepdaughter, used to say to her dad, Dad, how come I always get the one for the best represented business? She drove for Pony Express.
Oh.
And it wasn't a real fast car either, but it was cute and it did win, and I didn't vote for those, so whatever. So there were prizes and categories that fell into those issues too. And when you go to the museum, which I hope everybody does, because
there's
a lot of memories, some of the businesses, there's a few businesses still here, but most of them are gone, but it'll trigger a lot of memories.
Yeah.
In fact, there was a veterinarian's name that I don't remember, and I don't know whether he resigned about the period of time that I moved here or what. But, you know, there's lots to look at with that. And now all this will be posted. There will actually be, believe it or not, there are still two Soapbox Derby cars that we have in hand.
Wow.
And I believe there's a third on the island, and I need to be in contact with that person.
Holy smokes.
And it's there were two of the, what we call them, the fast, the racy cars that moved into. And then, but, you know, a lot of them were built by just family members. The
My
former
goodness.
Owners of Sound Food, Sona Miller, his mom's helped him build a car representing Sound Food. And she was quite a carpenter. And it even had like candelabras on the back of it. I mean, it was good. It was really good. When you see some of these pictures, some of them just had names on them. And some were highly decorated. Darcy's actually had a horse head, a wooden horse head on the front
of
with a mane. With a mane
with
for
a mane.
Pony Express. Yeah. I mean, why not?
Of course.
Why not?
Of course.
So anyway, so the brainstorming started. We picked the hill. We went for sponsors. We gained our sponsors. And then festival came. And race day morning, which was Sunday at festival, we met at the U.S. Post Office.
Oh, okay.
Something you wouldn't be able to do again.
Mm.
We weighed the cars in
on
the post office box scale.
Using USPS.
Yes. So I don't think they'd let us do that now. I don't think they'd do it. But in the 7 to 11 category, the weight was $200, including 200 pounds, including driver and car.
Oh, okay.
And then the next one, the older category, was 250 pounds. If you could add weight if you wanted, but it could not be loose. Like you couldn't add bricks in the front of the car.
Oh, okay. What a great idea. Yeah.
You would have had to pound in the U.S. parking lot to make your alteration. So that took place at 6 o'clock. And we, in the pictures, we have some great pictures of the kids sitting in their cars on the back dock getting ready to be loaded in. Yeah. It was pretty cool. You know, it was pretty cool. In fact, the winner, Stacy Fulton of the first race, actually is sitting there reading a book while she's waiting. And it is so Stacy. It was just perfect. She was just sitting there reading a book, kind of bored, waiting for this to happen. So then they would go from the post office. They had to go directly, so they couldn't alter their car.
Oh, sure, sure.
To sign in at the hill. And there was always a waiting period at that period of time. As I said, there were really no stipulations, except they did have to have a helmet.
Oh, okay.
And as you can see, Chris, I brought one to show
My
you. What
goodness,
does this look
yes,
like?
Yes, that looks like a cheese ball baseball helmet that doesn't protect from a baseball or trauma in a wreck.
And doesn't have a strap or anything to hold it on?
No. That's way too sophisticated.
Yeah, very sophisticated. And Aaron Burby raced my car for me. And it's covered with a Little House red and white gingham bag when I first bought the store with the Jelly Belly labels all over it, which was one of our new hot candy. In fact, we were the first in the state to buy Jelly Belly.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. And it was covered with Jelly Bellies. That's why all those little holes
are
in there. So I have Aaron's hat.
Oh,
and it
my
hangs
goodness.
In my office now at home.
What a keepsake.
But when you see some of the other pictures of some of the helmets, again, you'll go, oh, really?
That promotes injury.
Yeah, it was a little loose. They could wear whatever they wanted. There was no problem with what they wore. Some of them, as we advanced into the racing procedure, started to wear team shirts.
Oh.
So they, you know, it was the Sky Hansen's or whatever it was. That was the People's Bank or whatever it was. I'm just using examples.
Sure.
And so that was always kind of fun. I mean, the whole family did get involved with it. So the very first year, I remember looking at my car that Aaron was driving and said, he can't go down that hill. And his mother looked at me, and I think I scared her. The steering was actually on the outside of the car.
Oh,
and
what?
It was two rebarb.
Oh, no.
Yes. And he held his hands over that and drove down the hill.
Wow.
Some of them had inside steering.
Yeah.
After that, we started requiring inside steering. So as I said, we made a
work
lot of
in progress.
Work in progress. So we started at the top of the hill, and they went down 2x2, and there was a finish line at the bottom, and everything went really well.
And they just rolled to a stop. There are no brakes on this, right?
No, there's no brakes on them. Okay. No. And the girl who won, Miss Stacy, again said, you know, looking back at it, was I scared? No. My dad just said to me, just go straight, look straight down the hill, and do not turn anything. And she said, after I watched the other racers, the boys were all over the road.
Oh.
Because they were trying to steer.
Yeah.
And at that period of time, that road was much smoother than it is now. You couldn't possibly put a car like that down there. So anyway, we raced them 2x2. And at the bottom, there was a finish line with flags and all of that. And there was a big flow chart as to how we did it. Elimination crossed out. And they were awarded prizes. And I have with me today, because she sent it to me, one of the original silver dollars.
Oh, they got
first place was 25 silver dollars. And Stacy is in her mid-50s. And she's kept it all those years.
Is that right?
Oh. And she says she has the rest of them, but they're in a bag, and she was on her way to Greece.
So we didn't, of course.
I didn't get those. Aaron Burby also kept his, and he had his too. So
how many participants were there?
Well, we had 20. At the one year, we had 27 cars and 31 racers. That one I know for sure. So it would vary from year to year.
Yeah, sure.
And then afterwards, and I can't remember, I don't remember if there was, after we retired from it, if there was a gap, and then Glendale Realty kind of picked up, overseeing,
right?
And did some more. I did several races later on into the year. There were some kind of scary starts. The second year, we decided we didn't like the location, so we moved them down the hill and built a small ramp. And I don't know. Yeah, I made him go faster.
Yeah.
I don't know what this thing was. The third year, there was a bigger ramp that had the stop in front.
Yeah,
so
these are start ramps.
Ramps at the top of the hill.
And so it dropped the thing and
bam, and you were off. Yeah,
wow.
It dropped and you were off. And that year, I think we actually had an accident. There were several that went off the road.
Mm-hmm.
One spectator had a leg injury because he jumped to try and get out of the area and missed. He wasn't fast enough. And then we flipped a girl, which I will talk about because it's kind of cool. I mean, it's not cool, but it's a great story.
It ends well.
It ends well. And literally every year there were more and more and more and more hay bales put on to stop people from hitting the spectators if they went off, et cetera, et cetera. There are a couple of those.
You know, I think the real horror stories must come from building it and practicing with it before the race, because none of the hay bales would be up, and who knows what the
none
builders...
None of them practiced.
Oh, they didn't practice? Are you kidding me?
The only boy who practiced was a young lad, and his brothers also raced. A family that's still here on the island. I don't know that I should mention the name. But anyway, he was racing not on the course, but on another course and took out four front teeth. But 2 weeks before the races, he had just had the teeth replaced because he had been knocked out during a baseball problem issue. So there, but no, the kids didn't.
It's time
they
to be
just got in their cars and went.
I just assumed they would have practiced this on their own hills or whatever.
Well,
they may
have done that. That's the only one I know. But as far as I know, there was no formal. They might not have done it.
Yeah, but, that's crazy.
But they did, and it was good. So then there were the stories. Then the year that Skye Hansen and Peggy Hansen stepped into the field, it changed radically. They have been a godsend in helping me with my memory, what they did, because all three of their kids raced as they got old enough to race.
And the minimum age, you said, was
7 to 11. Yeah. Okay. And yeah. And Sky was in the industry where he made all the axles. So all the axles were made by Sky's business.
Really?
And then the wheels were changed out as we moved along. So they have been huge instigators. They got cursed a few times along the way because they built some fiberglass cars. There was nothing that said the very first car, the winter car, they were all wood.
Sure, sure. But
the very first car that won was LS Cedar that Stacy was driving, and it was thin cedar.
Oh, sure, the strips.
Yeah. That's what it was, and there's pictures of that one, too.
Oh, so wow. This is a beautiful car.
He built some fiberglass cars, and I showed you some pictures. And
yeah, it's like, who's going to do that? That's not a home build. That's like professional.
They were pretty, well, now they're covered, and it has a
cover. Yeah, now it looks like an aerodynamic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an aerodynamic thing. So it was just kind of, anyway, we got through all the races. Everything was fine. The one race I do want to mention to you, and I'm going to push the museum for you. There's lots of pictures. There's tons of pictures. And I just put a thing on my old Facebook, which I've posted forever on the Little House, and said, if anybody has pictures, if anybody wants to share pictures, if they have a story they want to tell, let me know because we'll use it in the panel.
Oh, yeah.
Because they are doing a panel the night of the 14th.
Mm-hmm.
There will be some of the kids and Sky will be there to talk more technical information. So that'll be kind of fun. The pictures that I have, I have decided I'm willing to share. If they don't have pictures and their pictures in it, they can take it home with them after they close the museum.
Oh, no way.
So, yeah, because there's
a sweetheart thing to do.
Well, there's some great pictures. You know, there's some fabulous action pictures and some cute ones. And it shows all the different kinds of things that really came out of it. The one story I want to tell you was this young girl, Michelle Bennett, who actually got hit by the opposing car. And the funny story of that was she said in our conversations that turns out the other boy's last name was Bennett also.
Oh, no kidding.
And I've traced far enough to find him on Facebook. He now lives in California.
Huh.
And I probably will end up making some type of contact to see what his reaction was.
Yeah.
Apparently, when they were coming down the hill, the helmet story that goes before proceeded for both of them. His was a little too big, and apparently it dropped somewhat.
He couldn't see.
And he was pushing it up when he swerved and hit Stacy's car. Now, Michelle's car, her helmet, there was a helmet that had been used for cross-country motorcycle riding.
Oh, like a real, real motorcycle, fiberglass helmet.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So they were going to take the shade off of it, and they tried all night and could not get that off.
Really?
They couldn't get it off. So when she was hit, she flipped through, and I'm going to read you what she wrote about flipping.
Okay.
And when her father saw the shield come off, he knew there was a problem.
Yeah.
It scared him to death.
Sure.
And so she didn't race after that. That was Michelle's last year to actually race. She didn't race after that. But this just shows me, I love this because she doesn't live on the island. Part of the family is associated and does live on the island. And she related several things about how she is raised. She married her high school sweetheart.
Oh.
They dated for 11 years, and I think they've been married for 38.
Oh, my gosh.
Just amazing. That's maybe 32. I can't remember that number. But anyway, and so like she says, I appreciated the community participation. I appreciated how we got to play in the woods and do things that were just, you know, fashion.
Yeah.
And she said, and we've taken that into our life and tried to make that happen with our kids. So anyway, so there's a picture here that I'll show you so you can see it with her neck brace
Neck brace? Oh, my gosh.
And her skinned face.
And smiling.
And smiling. That's right after the race that happened. So that's one of them. She said that, nope, they just checked me. Then I went and sat on the side by my family. They were supposed to monitor me and keep me awake for a while. I remember throwing up a few times, and I was in shock. I also kept crying about the tiniest cement burn on my elbow. I remember my mom laughing, Honey, if you could see yourself right now, that little cut is the least of your problems. Ha ha ha. I was a hot mess. But there, and she kidded because it did. I'm going to find this one. Okay. She, this is what she says about the flip. I honestly still remember it, Betty, clear as a day. It's so weird because it was completely out of body experience for me. I was tossing through the air, but all I saw was pretty blue skies, white billowy clouds, and everything was soft.
Wow.
Gentle and in slow motion. I remember the impact on my body, and it was soft. I think I seriously had a guardian angel with me that day.
Wow.
I didn't feel pain until I came to. The paramedics were putting a neck brace on me and asking me questions. I heard the worry in my dad's voice, and that's when reality hit. I started to cry, and everything started to hurt. I ended up with third-degree cement burns on my cheeks, forehead, nose, elbow, and shoulder. I had a concussion and a deviated septum and left me with a bent nose for the rest of my life. Not cute when your last name is Bennett. I bent it, all right. That's how, but it still works good, though. So, and you know what she said? I'd do it again in a minute.
Really? Oh,
she
that's
said
awesome.
It was a great bonding experience for she and her father.
Oh.
And that she has wonderful memories, and that's it. I mean, these kids, it was an experience that would I do? No.
Yeah.
But would these kids do? Yes. I just showed these pictures to some young kids, and their first thing was, wow, would I love that.
Really?
I would do that.
Yeah.
And I said, don't even go try. Don't even go try. Don't go try. So that's kind of the deal with how it came about and what it was and how it grew and all the things that happened. Great stories to be told. The museum is putting in some of the pieces we have, like the helmet and the silver dollar and the shirts. So there'll be a display case. They will be setting it up. It'll be able to be viewed on the 13th through the end of the month. I think their hours are 1 to 4.
Yes, 1 to 4, Wednesday
through Sunday. Yes. So go by, take a look. As I said, see what you can see.
Yeah.
If you have a story to share, let me know. They're very fond memories and crazy times.
Yes.
Things we can't do now.
That's exactly true. I mean, insurance and this and that and liability and all that stuff. Wow. Well, now, so just to remind our listeners, you will be doing this lecture via Zoom. Or is this,
yes.
Is it Zoom only or is it Zoom?
No, it's actually in-house too. So you can okay. come. I mean, you can be there.
You can be there. And that's going to be in the nature, what's it? No?
It's in the museum. I don't know exactly.
I don't think so because they don't have the room. The last one we did was in the, what's right across the street? The Nature Conservancy people. What am I saying?
Well, we'll have to fill in with details as we go along.
Sorry,
that's my error because I know they're measuring right now.
Yes.
Because there will be two cars, maybe three.
Yeah. Well, you can check the museum. It's going to be a hybrid. You can be on Zoom. You can be there in person. I'd recommend in person. It's going to be a panel discussion.
Yes. People can ask questions.
And
they'll start in with a little thing like you did about Soapbox Derby. And
who are your panel mates?
Sky Hansen will be there to answer the technical part.
Okay.
There are three boys I'm talking to. I'm hoping that Jason Burby will be able to come because he won 1 year and he's in Portland and that's the Burby race.
So he should
be on island because he lives in Portland. So I'm hoping Jason will be able to be there. So it will be, Ben Davidson is hopefully coming, but he may be at a horse camp with his daughter. So Eddie, his brother, may be there.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be a flow of different kids who have been in them and what they thought about how it built camaraderie amongst themselves. And it'll be fun. It'll be a great time.
And it's Thursday night, the 14th of this month.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's 7 p.m. Go to the museum, sign up on Zoom, get all the facts. That's VashonHeritageMuseum.org. And Betty, thank you so much. Once again, it's such a pleasure to interview you. It's just, you're such a wealth of knowledge for the community and,
crazy times.
Crazy times.
Crazy memories. Fun.
All right, Vashon, this has been History Worth Hearing. This is Chris Austin signing off. And have a great 4th of July weekend.